This is the end of the year, and I had a little bit of time last week as I've been praying. I think you're going to get something important out of this, but I'm going to give you the best New Year's resolution. Now, how many of you, I'm not saying tell me what your resolution is, but how many of you, at least one point in your life, you made a New Year's resolution? This year, and there's a couple of them. I'm going to save money, right? I'm going to eat better, smile more. That would be a great one for a lot of people. Let's just smile more. Let's show the love of Jesus in our face, right? How many of you know some people, their face doesn't know they're saved? So we need to let people know we've got joy on the inside of us. Amen? This isn't going to be a long message, but I believe it's going to be an important message. Here's the reality of life. Many times we allow the circumstances in our life to determine our attitude or how happy or how grumpy we may be. Raise your hand if you woke up next to grump. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. So, or else it'll be a worse day for you. I want to show you a picture here of a couple of people, and they got their little strings like little marionette. And I know there are people that we allow our circumstances to kind of control us, don't we? Like, oh, it was a bad day. Oh, I had this. Oh, I had that. And, oh, the weather outside's frightful, so I'm angry, you know. Or how many of you have ever allowed your job to give you a bad attitude? I mean, my hand's up. I've had a relationship. Sometimes we allow stress in relationships to control us. Finances, you know, when you live your finances don't make it. You live paycheck to paycheck, but it doesn't quite make it. Anybody ever been there before? If the rest of you, other than the Cowboy fans, have a sports team, might make you angry, right? Like if you're a 49er fan, where's Sam at? So sorry about that. But if you're a Cowboy fan, then you're going to be happy, right? Or sometimes our health just makes us mad. Anybody ever been mad? Like your body's not working like it's supposed to? And it's like, ugh, I hate that. But the fact is, most circumstances that affect our lives, they are beyond our ability to control. Am I right? There are certain things that I can control, but there are a whole lot of circumstances in life that are just beyond my ability, and yet I allow that to control me and to determine what kind of attitude I'm going to be. And let me just say, when you're grumpy, everybody's grumpy. We are in trouble if we allow all of the circumstances in our life to determine who we're going to be, how we're going to be, around our family, around our friends. So often we use New Year's resolution with the idea of, I'm going to make this a better new year, right? Isn't that the purpose of it? So today I want to give you the best New Year's resolution that you can make, aside from accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. I think that's the best one right there. But it will determine how great of a year 2020 will be. See, does anybody think the last couple of years have been a little rough? It's funny, when I think back to 2020 in January, all these pastors and churches were getting sermon titles, 2020 vision, it's going to be an incredible year, it's going to be an amazing year. I mean, that 2020 was like perfect, right? And then March happened. And everything kind of like, we had like our calendar full of events, we're going to do all these things, and after COVID hit, it just altered everything. And listen, I don't know what 2022 is going to hold for us, but after the last couple of years, there are a lot of people that are a little fearful. Oh no, what's going to happen? How much worse is it going to get? When's the other shoe going to drop? And for some people, you've already had a closet full of shoes drop. Am I right? I'm going to be focusing this message out of Philippians chapter 4. I don't have sermon notes for you, but I do have a place for you to write notes if you want to do that. But Paul made this statement in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord, how often?
Always.
And then just for emphasis, I will say it again, rejoice. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And he says, then this is the payoff right here. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And here we go. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. How many of you think that you could face life if you always had the peace of God? Like, no matter what circumstances come, if you truly had the peace of God on the inside of you, really, there's nothing this world can throw at you. That's what kind of blew the disciples away when they were in a storm on a boat. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. Like, our whole world can be in a panic over everything that's going on. And you could walk around with peace and people are like, what is wrong with you? What is happening to you? Don't you see? Look at the stock market. Look at this. Look at that. Look at all these things. And it's like, I got the peace of God on the inside. I mean, and I like what it said. It transcends all understanding. God's peace does not make sense to people that don't know Jesus. You can't explain it to them. You can't like you know, it's not like, oh man, I just lent some incense and I'm just, I'm in peace, right? That's not about that. It's a peace that goes so much deeper that this world cannot shake it. And Paul says this. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, he says to put it into practice. He says, whatever you've learned, whatever you've received, whatever you've heard, put it into practice. How many of you realize Paul was always teaching? It wasn't just when he was like in a preaching mode. He taught through speaking, through preaching. He also obviously taught through writing letters, which we're looking at right now. His personal lifestyle was a lesson. Am I right? Sometimes, you know, when you watch people on TV only and you don't get to know them, how many of you know all you're learning from them is whatever they're preaching? You don't see how they live their life. You don't see the things that are going on. But Paul, because he was always teaching in every aspect, and he says it, if you've heard it, you learned it, you received it, you heard it, you saw it in me, that's why he is able to say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's putting an example out there. How many of you know, not just Paul, but how many of you realize we're always teaching? And you're like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not up there doing that. You don't have to be, because people are learning in little conversations that you have. They're watching how you live. They're watching what you do. Whether it's a small crowd, whether it's a large crowd, all of us. And how many of us say, you know what? If people looked at, and you're like, what about the writing thing? You know, Paul wrote letters. How many of you know, most of us don't write letters, but we do put social media posts on. Am I right? Let me just ask you, are the things that people see in your life, are the things that people learn in your life, would it lead people closer to Jesus or further away? Am I getting people riled up over something, or am I leading them to the Prince of Peace? So we are teaching all the time as well. So let me continue with Philippians 4, verse 10, which I'm already at, amazingly. He says, I rejoice greatly, and I want you just to hang on to that because I'm going to reference that in a minute. But he says, I rejoice, because at one time he's telling them to rejoice. Now he's saying, I rejoice in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you also had no opportunity to show it. And I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. That's an amazing thing. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Here's the truth that we need to understand. If you have God's peace, it is going to lead you to contentment regardless of what circumstance you are living in. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in this world, if you have God's peace, you're going to learn to be content no matter what situation. Now, Paul, he sounds like a man that has learned to deal with his circumstances, right? Regardless of what is going on. Many people kind of live this life, and I've described it before, like a pinball, right? You're the pinball in a pinball machine, and you're bouncing over here. Boom, this circumstance throws you over here. And boom, this circumstance throws you over here. And you're just, anybody ever feel like life is a pinball machine? And you're like, please, I just let it in, right? Let me go down the gutter and just be still, right? Paul is not like that. Why? Because he learned. He learned. And I love this word. I kind of broke it down in the Greek. It's learned. It means, and there's three aspects to it: to be taught, study, or be instructed. which happens if you go to school, you come to church, if you listen to a sermon or a message, or you can even self-study, right? If you're reading a book or whatever, you're just reading God's Word, that is being taught. There's also this aspect where you come to realize or come to learn. How many of you know that's also the school of hard knocks? Anybody been to that school? Like, you learned, but you learned by experiencing. Like, some people can learn that the stove is hot, don't touch it, and you're like, okay, I'll take that instruction. Some people got to actually touch it. I heard that. That's me, right? So that's some things that we have come to learn in the course of time as we've gone through life. And then there's understanding as a result of having learned. Okay, I learned it, so now I finally understand it. So there's two schools of learning to be taught, be instructed. That could be our situation right now. And then there's the learning by experience. And one thing that I have found is that people can have both and still not learn. You can be taught, you can be instructed, you can touch the hot stove, but how many times do people go back and touch it again? You're like, surely you're not going to do the same thing again that just burned you the last time. Well, maybe it's not hot this time, right? I've got to find out. I've got to touch it. I've got to see if it's really hot. And so it makes no sense, but that's our human nature. I know the right thing to do. I know that I shouldn't do it, or I should do this, but I don't do it, right? I think Paul had that question. So my question for us today is, have you learned to be content whatever your circumstance? Have you learned that? I mean, that's a very simple answer to that. If you experience a lot of discontent over the circumstances of your life, then the answer to that is no, I have not learned yet. You don't have to raise your hand on that. That's okay. But the word content as well is to be okay with my present circumstances. Doesn't mean that you just settle with whatever it is, but can I be okay with my financial situation? Obviously, most people would like to have a little bit more income. Anybody here would like to have a little more income. But can I be content with where I'm at? Can I be okay with what I am without having to spend my life on, no, I got to get more, I got to get more. Am I okay to be content? Be content with your work. We've probably all had jobs that you wish you didn't have and you wish you had another job, right? But you know what? Can I be content with my work? There's no perfect work situation. Except for Randy has got a perfect work situation because he gets to work. No, I'm just... There's always things. Relationships. Why is it that relationships break apart all the time? Because people don't learn to be content. There's not a perfect spouse out there, amazingly, except for my wife has got the... No, I'm just going to get myself in trouble. She's not in here, so don't tell her that. Our living conditions. Oh, man, I wish I had this house or that house. Transportation. Anybody ever been frustrated with your own car? Yes. It's like if you've never had a clunker, you have not lived yet, right? Where you're like, oh God, just let me make it to the next place, right? But it's like, here's the thing. It's not like, oh, you know what? I've just got to be happy with everything that I have and not want anymore. It's not about that. But it's like, can I be content in my circumstance? Can I be okay? And it doesn't mean that I don't want more or I want something else, but that does not become my driving force. You see, what happens is when that becomes your driving force, you become discontent with where you are, and you're no longer thankful for the things God has done for you. And the reality, how many of you know in life, not all circumstances are going to change, right? Not everything is going to change. And some circumstances take time to change. And we're so instant, we want change, and we want it when? Right, or yesterday, right? So we find ourselves kind of in this in-between with living with less than ideal circumstances. So what do we do? What do we do until things change or if things never change? Well, I think just as 2020 and 2021 had circumstances that you and I did not like, how many of you realize 2022 is going to have things that we're not going to like? There's going to be things that we're going to, you know, we're going to get frustrated with, we're going to get upset about, we may not like. So what do we do? What does Paul say right in the middle? And I read these verses earlier. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, what does he say? The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now, I'm not even going to expound on 13, but do you realize most people quote that out of context? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm about to run a marathon. I can do all things through Christ. Listen, it's not in that context. It's in the context of being able to be content with whatever situation you're in. I can do it. So listen, well, sometimes we quote verses out of context. It's good to find out what the real context is, right? And you can do everything. Listen, if you think you can fly and say, God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you're still not going to fly. There are certain things you can. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. Paul says, this is a secret. I learned a secret to be content. And listen, if something is a secret, how many of you know not everybody knows it? Even if you are a follower of Christ, that does not necessarily mean that you know this secret. You might know it up here, but do you know it right here? Do you know it when it comes out practically? I've met a lot of people that love God, love Jesus, have given their life to Him, but they're very discontent with life, and they're complaining, and they're not happy. And notice that he says this, whether I am well-fed, how many of you are content when you're well-fed and living in plenty? That's easy to be content, right? But what about this? Can I be content when I'm hungry? And when I'm living in want? Paul found that secret. He discovered that. It's no secret to be well-fed and plenty and be content. Oh, man, that's good, easy for you to say. But Paul's saying even when he's been hungry, even when he's lived in want. So my question is, do you want to know what the secret is? Kind of stringing you along here. And I know that it may be simplistic, but in this life, in any and every circumstance, every day or every hour, you and I have one of two responses to make to the circumstances in our life. And it will determine the course of our life and the attitude of our life as we go on. So, are you ready for the secret? Yeah. All right, here we go. We can either complain about our circumstances or rejoice in the midst of it. There's rocket science right there. Like, whoa, what? How is that possible? Now, like I said, a lot of us know this. We know that we're supposed to rejoice, and yet we find ourselves complaining. And I'm not going to say raise your hand, because I still complain sometimes. I'm not saying, oh yeah, man, I figured I'm always going to. No, I find myself, and then I got to catch myself. Anybody ever find yourself in that? It's like, you know what? I got to move back. See, many people know this, but how many of you know they don't really know it? A lot of us know it. Let me just say, if you don't do this, then you really don't know it. There's a lot of things that we know that we don't do, so we've got to realize and understand, we are not told to rejoice for negative circumstances. Oh, yes, I got a flat tire. This is amazing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're not told to be thankful for the bad situation, but we are called to rejoice in the midst of them. Doesn't that make sense? There's a difference in it. Lord, I thank you. I don't like a flat tire, but Lord, thank you that you are my provider, and you can learn to rejoice in the midst of the challenges that we face. And we're told in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, not for your negative circumstances. So it is possible to be in the worst circumstance of your life and still be able to rejoice. Amen? You can be in the worst situation. Everything has come at you at once and still have this peace of God that causes you to rejoice. And I know many people know only how to rejoice when good things happen. Oh, man, I got a raise. I got this. Oh, this is amazing. And you know what? When we do that, we're not really rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing for the good thing we got, the good thing that happened in our life. It's one thing to be thankful for the blessings of God that we have in our life, but I am convinced of this, you will never really know how to rejoice in the Lord until you've had to rejoice in the midst of negative circumstances. Amen? Yes, we give the Lord a hand clap right there. This is so real and so honest because, you know, I came to church, I just want me to tell you everything's going to be wonderful, everything's going to be great. No, life's going to be hard. It already is hard, right? Anybody, like, is that a news flash to anybody? What? Life is hard? Yes, it is, but you can be, no matter where you're at, you can still begin to rejoice. That's when we rejoice in the Lord. As a new believer, if you only rejoice in circumstances, then you have not learned what Paul said is a secret. You might have heard somebody talk about it, but the secret of learning to rejoice in your circumstances, it only gets traction when we actually do it. If I know to do it, but I don't do it, that doesn't matter. It's kind of like if, you know, going on a diet, the only way you actually lose weight is not to know about the diet. Oh, I read all of these books and everything like that. It doesn't happen until you actually do it. I got to actually take those M&Ms away if I'm going to do it, right? Well, I know that if I just ate this many calories every day, then I would lose weight. No, it's all of these things. You have to actually do it. If you're going to really walk in joy in the peace of the Lord, I've got to actually learn to rejoice when those bad things happen, right? When those negative things happen. And Sam, when your 49ers lose, you got to learn to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? I just love picking on him. We go at this all the time, so no problem. Here's the thing. For it to become a solid truth, like I said, we got to actually do it. That's when your faith is going to grow. That's when you become a more mature believer and you really get to experience the peace of God. Amen? You see, following Jesus is not learning a bunch of facts. Oh, I know the Bible. Oh, I know this story. I know that. You can be great at Bible trivia and answer all of those questions. Can I tell you, that does not impress God. It only happens when we actually begin to do the things that God says. I can learn about forgiving others, but if I haven't actually done it, how many of you know that's not good, right? I've got problems. So when negative circumstances hit your life, we can choose to rejoice or we can choose to complain. That's really it. And too many times we kind of spend our life right here, right? The complaint department, yes, just get in line. I don't like this. You know what? I wish that this happened. I wish that pastor would stop talking so long and so loud or whatever it is. We want to complain. And let me just say, if you go to a restaurant, don't raise your hand on any of these, okay? But how many of you ever complained about the service? Ah, they didn't fill up my drink fast enough. Oh, you know what? My food's cold. They got my wrong order. They did this. They did that. Or I know this has never happened. Anybody ever complain about traffic? Ouch, right? And, you know, traffic, you know what it is? It's traffic. What are you going to do about it? Anybody complain about a crazy driver? Listen, I find myself complaining about crazy drivers sometimes, and then I have a flashback of when I was younger, and I was the one people were complaining about. Christmas, I didn't get this for Christmas, or you know what? Your family got in a fight. Don't raise your hand on that one either. Workers, co-workers, boss, customers. I'll never forget this. We were living in Texas, went into this store. There was a lady sitting back. I could see her. It was a small store, sitting on a computer, and we're standing at the counter, and she just kind of looks over at us and says, "What?" I'm like, well, you're not got a lot of people in here. I think you want customers, right? We still did business with her because we were a small town, and there was nowhere else to go, but weather, we can complain about COVID, mask, no mask, all of that. Let me just say, the people that you know that are complaining all the time, how many of you know they live in this line? I've got to complain about this. This isn't good. That's not good. Here's the problem. When all people can do is complain, do you know what the problem is? Is they've forgotten what they have in Christ. We have forgotten the things that God has done for us. And let's just be honest. Like I said, sometimes life stinks, and sometimes it stinks really bad. Sometimes it's just horrible, right? But to learn the secret to being content, it's not like, okay, I'm just going to rejoice. It's not forcing yourself to rejoice. How many of you know God does not want you to fake it? God doesn't want you to fake being joy. How are you doing today, brother? Oh, praise the Lord, bless God, hallelujah, right? And on the inside you're thinking, oh, man, this day stinks. God has not called you to fake it. You've got to learn the secret and begin to remember we can rejoice in any and every circumstance when we remember what we really have, what we have to be thankful. I want to read just a few verses out of Psalms 103, and this is out of the Message. You may know it in obviously other translation, but I love this out of the Message. It says, "Oh my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I will bless his holy name. Oh my soul, bless God." And then what does it say? Don't forget. He's about to give you a reason to not forget and why he's blessing God. Don't forget a single blessing. He does what? He forgives your sin, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. Thank you for redemption. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you. I just love these words. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Amen to that, right? Don't you love that? He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he wraps, he renews. And then I wanted to go through this whole Psalms, but I didn't. It says, God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his works, opened up his plans to all Israel. And I love this last part. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He is rich in love. Amen? Yes. Here's the thing. When I think about that, when I think about all that I have and all that God has done for me and in me, I remember there was a time that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Right? I remember there was a time that I had no future. I didn't really have a hope. You know, it was only in whatever I did. And now I know where my future is. Right? I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear what is going on or any of these things because I know I'm in God. And he's in me. There was a time when my state of mind was controlled by how people treated me, right? How life treated me, how inanimate objects treated me, like the corner of your bedpost. Anybody ever kick that with your foot? And it's like, now my state of mind is controlled by the peace of God. Once I was dead in my trespasses, but now I am forgiven. I have to remember these things. He says, don't forget it. Don't forget these things. It's interesting that in Philippians 4, he starts out, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. But remember I pointed out later on, he said, I rejoice. Here's the thing you may or may not be aware of, is that the book of Philippians is one of the four books known as the prison epistles. These are the letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. Let me tell you, the prisons there are worse than the prisons today. Right? Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, all of those were written while he was in prison, and he's telling them, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he's saying, I'm rejoicing. Paul was able to learn to rejoice while in prison. While he may not have had all of his needs taken care of, he was not in a great circumstance. And the reality is, if he were to forget God's benefit, he could have thought back when he was a younger man and he was this upstanding Pharisee. He had everything going for him. He could have had a great house. He could have been like, man, why did I go down this path? Why did I do that? I could have had everything going for me. But he didn't do that. He didn't forget. He had learned the secret of that. How did he do it? There was a middle verses that were in there. Verse 8, he says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does he say to do? Think about that, right? Don't think about what coulda, shoulda, woulda, or whatever, all of these things of how you wish your life would have turned out. We've got to remember the things that God has done for us. And that God has done through us. And this is what's amazing. I believe this is a truth right here. What we think about will determine if we will rejoice or complain. The next moment you want to complain, you got to begin to think about, what am I thinking? What's going on in my head? Am I getting something that I wish that I didn't get? Or is somebody giving me something that they shouldn't have? Is somebody mean to me? Somebody rude to me? Whatever it is, if we think about how wrong a circumstance is, and yes, I admit, there are wrong circumstances. There are people that are unfair to you. And I love, you know, little kids, that's unfair. And what do we tell them whenever that is? Life's unfair, right? We got to get used to it. Don't think you're going to get treated fairly. That's a false thought right there. If you're worried, if you're thinking about, man, that person's so blessed over there, why can't I be blessed like that? Why can't I have what they have? If we spend our time thinking about all of those things, how many of you know we're going to be very discontent? And we're going to begin to complain. And the thing, we'll end up in that complaint department that I showed you. And the thing that will always evade us is the peace of God. You'll never obtain God's peace. How do I get the peace of God? I've got to learn to rejoice. That's the secret in all circumstances. I can't be complaining about it. Again, here's another truth. You cannot complain about a circumstance and experience the peace of God at the same time. That one, you got to write that one down if you haven't written that down. Like if I'm complaining, have you ever felt God's peace in the midst of a complaint? It doesn't happen. It can't happen. They are polar opposites of each other. God's peace comes when we rejoice. Wasn't that powerful earlier? The worship song, that was not planned. As everybody began just to sing that song out of the Spirit, you could feel the peace of God just flowing in this room. You can't manufacture that. So Paul told him, think about those things, the true, noble, those things that God has said, not what the world has said. Amen? When we face negative circumstances, guess what we need to do? We need to take them to God. Amen. Whether it's the flat tire, whether you get snowed in and you're having to shovel snow for 5 hours, or whatever the situation, he says this in verse 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in anything. There's a lot of anxious things out there, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, there's that coming in again, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Amen. Aren't we tormented in our mind sometimes with the thoughts? Our heart gets broken, our heart gets disgruntled, but if we will begin to take those things to God, then God protects our mind and he protects our heart. Let me give you this again out of the Message, just because this is like my favorite version of this verse right here. Verse 6, it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise, I love this, shape your worries, because worries really are kind of a form of prayer. Oh God, this is going to happen. I can't believe that. The sky's falling. But he says, let praise shape your worries into prayer. Letting God know what your concern is. So whatever your concern is, we're taking it to God. Instead of complaining like, God, I can't believe my car can't make it from point A to point B, it should be more like, God, thank you that you've given me transportation, but Lord, you know the need that I have, and I'm asking that you would provide a better circumstance, better vehicle for me. And then you've taken your worry and you've turned it into a prayer, and then what it says here, before you know it, I love this, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for the good will come and settle down on you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Amen? Amen? Worry is hanging on the inside of so many of us so many times. And it's like, don't you want Christ to displace that? Take the worry out and let the peace of God reside right here. I can't think of a better example than Job in this situation. After he got all the bad news, horrible news, if you allow God to displace worry, you'll go from being this guy to this guy. Amen? Doesn't he seem a lot happier? A lot more full of the peace of God? Anyway, let me read Job to you real quick. It says, after Job heard this news, he got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. After Job got a bunch of bad news, his kids dying, his flocks being killed, all this horrible thing, he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Then he says this, may the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So here's my challenge for us in 2022. We need to make a choice to rejoice in the Lord and not be a complainer. Amen? Isn't that a good New Year's resolution? Lord, help me to rejoice. Help me to learn to rejoice even when bad things happen. Even when difficult things happen. God, I want to be like Job and not, I don't want to have the circumstances of Job, but Lord, I want to be like Job and say, God, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to fall to the ground and worship you. Amen? I don't want to be a complainer. I really don't want to. It's so easy. It's so easy to be a complainer. But if we can make this a resolution for 2022, I want to tell you, yes, the negative things still happen in life, but guess what? You're going to rise above it all. And people are going to look at you and like, what is wrong with you? And you're like, the peace of God. The peace of God is overcoming. And when we do this, when we focus on the right things, and so I want to challenge you as we get into this new year, just with four things, and Pastor Colleen mentioned one, our fast coming up, but if you don't already do this, get into God's Word on a regular basis. Not because it's a religious ritual that I got to do. If you have a smartphone, you can download a Bible app, and you can pick a year plan, and it will take you through the Bible in a year. There's so many different options. But I would encourage you to get in God's Word on a regular basis. It's your daily bread, absolutely. Spend time in prayer. These are so basic, and we know that. But some people think, oh, well, yeah, you're a Christian. That's what you got to do. That's your connection to God. I've got to spend time in His presence. If not, I mean, I kind of joke about this. If I've missed it in the morning and I'm a little grumpy, my wife kind of nails me sometimes and she's like, somebody didn't spend time with the Lord today. And I'm like, oh, right? We need that. Commit to coming consistently to church. And listen, I don't mean this is anything harsh to anybody, but statistics show people are becoming more and more inconsistent. And we need it not because it's a religious duty, but we need not just hearing the word and the worship, but we need connection with one another. If you're going to be a healthy believer, we need to have connection with each other and to incorporate fasting into your life. So those are just three things that are four things that I want to encourage you as we make 2022 a better year. I really do have hope and believe that it's going to be a better year. Amen. I can't control the circumstances of what will happen, but I can control what happens right here. And that's all we're responsible for. You're not responsible for anybody else or any other situation. So let's make that a challenge this year. Can I have everybody stand? And I do want to pray. Listen, if you're here, maybe somebody's watching online. The most important thing that you got to do, if you've not given your life to the Lord, if you've not committed your life to Him, or maybe you did in the past, but you know you've not been walking it, how many of you know we need to make that fresh commitment to Him? So if that's you here today, and you just say, Pastor, I want to make a fresh commitment, a fresh start to Him, just raise your hand, and if you're online, let us know. And I want to pray over you. Can we just all say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, to die on that cross and pay for all my sin. I want to start fresh with you in 2022. So I commit my life afresh and new in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen, if you need prayer for any other reason, I will hang out up here if some of our other people, a lot of them, are snowed in. Just encourage you to come up. We will pray for you. Let me just pray a blessing. Lord, I just pray a blessing over each one today. Lord, as each one goes their way, Lord, as we finish up through the holidays and get into this new year, Lord God, let us keep our eyes on you. Lord, we make a commitment to you, Lord God, that we want to learn to rejoice in all circumstances. And Lord God, keep complaining far from us. Lord, we commit it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have an awesome new year.